In the opening, every week, I say that we're going to take you behind the scenes at Waterfire. And today, we are literally going to take you behind the scenes at Waterfire with the person that we pretty much call the general of Waterfire. He's our director of operations. And so when Barnaby's coming up with all these incredible ideas and I come back and say, hey, Paul, I've got money for this or for that, or this is what I've promised someone. Paul Kohanek puts it all together and keeps our team running and makes what we do seem so seamless and magical. But, you know, today we're here to answer a lot of questions. We get a lot of questions about how we put Waterfire on, how we actually execute, and Paul Kohanek, Director of Operations at Waterfire, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bronwyn. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, well, you know, it's pretty hard. I was trying to pull you out of the office because for anybody who knows Paul Kohanek, he works from about 6 in the morning till 1 in the morning and the next morning because I get emails nonstop.
True. So, actually, one thing I think is really important for everyone to understand is we have a lot of volunteers to do Waterfire, but we also have an incredible staff. A hardworking staff, and we are at pains to valorize the volunteers and thank them and stuff like that. And sometimes, in our efforts to do that, I think people get the mistaken impression that there's not a lot of tremendous amount of other work that has to be done and coordinated, and it is a more than full-time job. And we have,
and that's it, and that's with all the staff that comes in. I mean, we have 6 to 7 different departments at Waterfire, but on an event day, we all come together as a single team at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we're spending that time all the way to 3 a.m. in the morning. So from serious to silliness to exhaustion.
And weeks before, I mean, the planning, the coordination, the timing, and this fire is a good example of that. We had this great Jendo Taiko group coming from Brown, and with five players there. We had Festival Ballet Providence with 3 choreographers and dancers, including dancers from across the country and their parents. We had the head of the CDC coming up from Atlanta, Georgia. We had 75 people in the medical field. We had testing. We have information dense, and all those people need to be informed, organized. We had a Promethea of 75 people or so, and another 100 torches
in
the basement.
That whole opening ceremony maybe lasted 35 minutes. We tied it right into lighting, and that 35 minutes probably took 250 hours to plan.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I wanted to ask you. Okay, so can you give me a rundown of a typical Waterfire event day for you and the staff?
There are 2 weeks of prep.
The 2 weeks of prep, which is constantly, because it's an outdoor event, it's a live event, it is constantly changing day to day.
PK loves that.
Another reason why I love being here today is I get to throw B underneath the bus.
That's right.
So he means Barnaby, not Bronwyn. Go right ahead.
So the prep into that on a Friday will be there till 9:30 at night, and then for me, I'm on site at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I'm doing the checks of the actual physical site, making sure nothing happened overnight that we're going to run into on the site, making sure all our subs, what we need on site is there, and then basically we all meet at the 475, our new building on Valley Street. There's about 20 staff, about 10 interns, so there's about 30 of us that we hit the trucks, and we're down on site by 6:15, and we start going at it. We break up into about 6 teams, 6 different areas. We are covering 1/3 of a mile. We have teams that cover individual areas, the volunteer area, the main merch area, the sponsor areas, the actual river itself.
So are you putting up tents at this point and building braziers with the volunteers, or is it still just staff time?
No, we're doing it all. We're getting right into it. The first thing we do is anything that's big and is going to take the muscle. When I look at scheduling event over there, by the time we're on site, 6:30, people are starting to get pretty warm physically, so a lot of the heavy gear is happening with up go the tents. On any given event, we'll have 3 to 6 tents going up. So breaking those teams up to get them into place on the tents, and then from there, the river's being built by 8 o'clock.
Boats are coming out of the marina, firewood, you know, there's a lot of details.
There's more details that people would really, really understand going in. each area by usually by 2 p.m. We're about 50%, maybe 60% there, and then we're doing final touches, and then if we have any additional stages, the Steeple Street stage, the ballroom stage, which is going to be coming up at the next event, all that is going into place. It's when you look at it on paper, the timeline that I produce for each event is probably about 22 pages long.
I've seen it. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. It makes you not want to read what's there. And that's broken down pretty specifically on what everyone's doing and the teams that we're doing, because if we do miss anything, and a live event during the day, depending on weather or anything, if something should happen, and something will happen, every event, it changes. That's the challenge of it. That's the fun part of it. You got to be ready to execute and go to plan B.
And the staff. I mean, from wind to weather to someone canceling to a musician getting sick to a truck not arriving to engine breaking
to a staff person going down or anything.
And you're also dealing with hundreds of volunteers too at this point, right? So,
which are constantly changing throughout the day. I mean, the volunteer calls just for water fire. I mean, there's a 6 a.m. call for volunteers, an 8 a.m., a 9 a.m., a 12. A 5
an afternoon.
Between 5 and 7, there's 4 or 5 different groups of volunteers coming in. The coordination of the volunteer department is crazy coming in.
And they need to be trained. They need to be assigned. They need to be coordinated. They need to be informed. They need to be taken care of. They need to be fed. They need to have water.
You don't think about it. Think about it when you're on the outside looking in. But also, I have to worry about just the fatigue factor of the staff going into it.
Because what time do you and your men actually get home?
I would say get home, and that's absolutely right. They're not all men.
We've got plenty of great women working really hard on our team.
Yeah, one right here, right?
Absolutely. We're probably back at our homes by 3:30, 4 a.m. And then, it's a long day. Sometimes we don't even catch a one-hour break. And then we're in the shower, and then we don't see Sunday. We absolutely don't see Sunday.
It's pretty amazing Sunday.
Guys, we've got to take a quick break, but then we're going to be right back here with Paul Gohanek. And again, we're going to ask you to call in with some questions, 437-5000 or 888-345-0790.
To Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Call Bronwyn now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back, and you're listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm Bronwyn Dannenfelser, and I am sitting here with Barnaby Evans, the artistic director and creator of Water Fire, and our general at Water Fire in the field, Mr. Paul Gohanek, who we actually affectionately call PK, because it's just easier, or P-Kitty every now and then.
No P-Kitty. That's a whole other story into itself.
It's funny how often it's stories we get into about Water Fire, and it's partially because it's so much work. It's just such a gargantuan project and always moving, and there's some fun stories. So what comes to mind, P-K?
There's so many. I could nail you guys right now with stories just about you guys. We're dealing with so many different individuals, both staff and volunteers, sponsors. There's if we do a top five every night after an event, we're sitting there rolling for 15 minutes on what's happened during the night. One of my favorite stories is we had an individual who was working for us.
Young kid,
learning, and we have a great internship program also that we try to teach special events if you're in the business, and we asked him to do some power runs for us and to run some extension cords, and he seemed to be struggling, and then when we finally called us over to say I can't get this, he was trying to
just wasn't working, something wasn't just clicking. I don't know what the problem was.
The lights weren't going on.
Exactly.
I don't know why I'm trying to plug it in, but the lights weren't going on. Well, if you try to plug in an outlet into a water hose, of course they're not going.
It was just such a complete, unexpected blunder.
This came out of it. I was asking PK during the break, if there were three things that you could identify that you don't think people, like, from your perspective, that you don't think people really know about water fire because of the way that you make it look so seamless? What would those three things be?
And first of all, it's the coordination effort that goes into it and trying to line up anywhere from 200 to 300 people to put the event on.
And the sheer amount of work, and the number of things.
I mean, we're moving 10 tons of equipment first thing in the morning, and then we're removing it. What goes up in 8 hours comes down in 3 hours. If you drive by on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m., you won't even know water fire was on site, and that's one of the things I take pride in, that water fire takes pride in. It's magical. It's there and it's not there. You know, where was this? You know, I'm staying at the hotel and this whole thing just happened. Let's go back out there and see what's happened. Ooh, it's ghost town. Where is it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we might be working with a huge convention that's in town.
Yeah, sure.
We might be working with a radio station. We might have a guest that's come from Europe. We might have a lighter, a performer who's come from New Orleans. You know, all kinds of things happen. We're working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and hurricane barriers and tides and
the city,
power
the
generators
the
and
fire
city
department.
Police. It goes on and on. Yeah.
The businesses that run right along the river, the Rhode Island School of Design, the restaurants. We're tied into everyone. They help us. We help them. It's a great working relationship. But going back to the question you asked. One of the main things that I take responsibility for is to make sure that the people that are working for Water Fire, working for me on the day of event, they're having a good time. I mean, you're spending 22 hours physical. If you're not having a good time, the day is a very long day. So the humor that the staff brings to the event and makes that day go by is a huge part of the success of Water Fire and the inside the water fire staff and what's going on. I mean, if we didn't, if someone wasn't getting their chopped by 6:30, I know the day's going to be bad. So people aren't in the right mood right away.
Don't you make people tell you jokes every day?
Every day, you got to tell me a joke, and if you don't, if you're not telling me a joke, I'll make you sing. So we just had one of our interns, Alexis, who just joined us a few weeks ago. It was her day to come into the fold, so we made her sing while we were doing setup. So I can't remember what song she sang. I don't know if it was Tick Tock, The Mouse Ran Up the Clock, but she was on the pretty. I love embarrassing people.
We know. Well, I think that's great. You know, one thing I want to say is it's funny the things that people don't know. And I guess the reason that I asked you that question is because even on my side, and when I get approached by people about, can we do a water fire on a certain date, or how come there's not a water fire happening on a certain date?
Yeah.
People don't understand that, yes, as Barnaby said, we have to first check the tides. Right. The river hasn't been drenched.
Water depth. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So if there's no water, and it's very funny to try to explain to somebody that, let me pull out my tide chart first, and they look at you kind of funny, but if there's no water in the river, you can't really do water fire. So there's that, and then there's working with Dominion Energy, and so there's all these moving parts.
They're all
parts.
Tied in, yeah. All the moving parts have specific players inside them that we all have to coordinate to pull a water fire off. And then, yeah, as you know, we have sponsors that are in only for a certain date that they want that date, and the tidal river is not going to be there for us. Where we have to improvise of how we're gonna light these fires when there's only 3 inches of water in the basin or in the river, and God love them, our volunteers, we'll put them in waders, we'll put them in canoes, they'll walk in the muck, they'll get right in there and make it happen for us, and that's something that being part of Water Fire, that team atmosphere is just not staff. It's a whole family coming together to go in, and anybody will do it. And it's not easy to feed a fire in waders in what's underneath that water, that 2 feet of muck sloshing around. It's quite amazing.
Well, I mean, that's it. It's the creative solutions that I think are really wonderful. That
One of the things I wanted to mention is we're talking about all the surprises behind the scenes, but one of the things that's the glue that holds it all together is that incredible sense of awe and accomplishment and joy you see that happens in people's faces. Because I do want to encourage people to join us as volunteers. I think they'll find it an amazing experience. We listen to people's skills and try to find fun things for them to do. And I think on our waterfire.org/volunteer, is tell you information about how to volunteer. And I think you'll find a warm family of committed, engaged people who are there as part of the mission of transforming the city, making the city a better place, being part of a great team, and you'll learn a lot. And it's well worth doing.
Yeah, we do have so many people, not only on staff, but in our volunteers from all walks of life. There isn't a day or an event that goes by that you won't learn something that you don't know. It's the facts are flying fast and furious.
Well, you know, we're going to have to take a break in a second, but when we come back, we're going to bring a really amazing man into this panel, and his name's Spaga. You might know him as that incredible fire dancer at Waterfire that you've seen spin for so many years. So we'll see you in a few.